بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful.
قل هو الله أحد.
Say, He is Allah, the One.
الله الصمد.
Allah, the Eternally Besought of All.
لم يلد ولم يولد.
He begetteth not, nor was begotten.
وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ.
And there's none comparable unto him.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا بالقاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In the last discussion that we had, we tried to explain about the importance of perception and how the way that we look at the world and the way we understand things, it is through the eyes of our perception. And the reason for the difference of opinions and the difference of ideologies that exist in the world, it stems from people having to build different perceptions from their five senses. And Islam had actually brought the right perception for humanity so that there would be harmony and synergy among humanity, which would result into justice all around the world. And we can see the condition of the world is that we are not living in a just world, and there is murder and there is chaos and there is suffering and there is massacre of innocent people all around the world. And there are different ideologies and religions all claiming to be right and all claiming to be believing in the right God. So it means is that if it was the case that there was one God and there was supposed to be harmony and synergy and justice among humanity, then the result of it has not come. And the verse is reminded of us where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is the one who sent the Prophet upon the right guidance, upon the true religion, so that there could be one day where this true religion is going to overpower all the other religions, even if the polytheists do not like this fact. So what is it that we have to learn that Islam is trying to tell us, which will bring about this harmony, synergy and justice all around the world? We mentioned that there are different definitions in this world of the things that we understand, and there is different responsibilities and roles that everybody plays. And Islam gives us the perception or the definitions of things, it gives us the roles, and it also gives us the responsibilities that we have to do in this world. And the definitions and the perception is given by Asul-e-Din. The roles and the responsibilities are given by Furu-e-Din and Akhlaq. Asul-e-Din basically means the branches of religion, and if you understand how a tree works, is everything that the tree gets is through the nutrition and the minerals and the water from the roots, and its existence depends on the strong roots. So in actuality, the base or the foundation of the pillars of religion of Islam is Asul-e-Din. Asul-e-Din are based on perception. They are based on perception which has been given to us by 124,000 prophets, all of their teachings summarized into Quran, and then afterwards the teachings of Quran to be explained in the right manner by the Aimma alayhimus salam. When we look at that, we understand that this perception that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to have is to have the right connection between the creation and the creator, to be able to have success in this world and the hereafter. So Asul-e-Din are the most important part in anyone's life who wants to live a life of a religious person. And if Asul-e-Din are understood properly through logic and reasoning and through the right perception that Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam and Anbiya alayhim salam have given to us, then the roles and responsibilities become easier and are more beneficial for the individual who is doing them. Why do we not get the benefit from salah? Why do we not get the benefit from fasting? Why is it that we do not get the benefit from hajj? Why is it that we're not getting the benefits of the roles and responsibilities which Muslims are doing for the last 1400 years and from the time that Hazrat Adam ﷺ came on this world? The reason for that is that the roots of religion are misunderstood. The roots of the religion are not understood through logic and reasoning. The roots of religion are not understood through the perception that Ahlul Bayt ﷺ and Anbiya ﷺ gave to us. So, all of the problems, if the tree is having any sort of rot on the fruit, or if the tree is having problems with the leaves or branches or the trunk, all of those problems, they are stemming from the root. Just a simple example, salah is supposed to keep us away from the things that have been rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the things that are sins, and the things that are without any purpose, which is called fosh in Arabic. You'll see that people are praying salah, they are Muslims around the world, 5 times a day. They are praying salah, but the Muslims are involved in sins which are involved in those things that have no place with their Creator. Injustice or supporting injustice or supporting the oppressors of the world is not something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it as ma'roof. Which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it that this is something that I want for my creation. It is a sin. But we see that Muslims around the world are supporting oppression, they're supporting the oppressors. They are not putting a voice against oppression. So that means is that their salah is actually not working, is not giving the benefit. If you look at Hajj, Hajj is that roles and responsibility which gives us the opportunity to unite together as one ummah, as one nation. Doesn't matter, white, black, what race this person is from, if this person is rich or poor, or if this person is knowledgeable or not knowledgeable. All of the people who go for Hajj, they have to wear the same dress, they have to wear arham, they have to go through the same process like everybody else, they have to do this together, they cannot do it on an individual basis. And they have to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the focal point, which is the Khana Kaaba, where they are going around symbolizing that in everything that they are going to do in their life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be the nucleus. So Hajj is supposed to give us the unity as in Muslim Ummah, but we see that Muslim Ummah is divided. So in short, all the problems that we see are stemming from the roots, and the roots of religion is Asul-e-Din. The first one is called Tawheed. Tawheed basically means that we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is independent in existence and everybody else is dependent on his existence. That is the core principle of Tawheed. Everything else in Tawheed, the discussions in Tawheed stems from that principle. You have Tawheed al-Sifati, which is saying that all the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists inside of his essence. There is Tawheed in worship, there is Tawheed in his actions. There is Tawheed that deals with Rububiyat in the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who raises us, He's the one who nourishes us, He's the one who teaches us. That's Tawheed in Rububiyat. There is Tawheed in Khalqiyat, that He's the one who has created all that is existing. He is the only one who has created the creation. So there are many different discussions in Tawheed, but all of them stems from this general principle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is independent in existence and everything else is dependent on His existence. Very simply, if you think about it, everything in religion is actually revolving around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it is revolving around Tawheed. Tawheed, when we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is independent, meaning that He does not need anything for His existence to be. And that is very easily understood when we look at our own selves. Like, our existence is not independent. I am dependent on the air that I'm breathing. If the air is not there, I cannot breathe, I would die. I'm dependent on the water that's inside of my body. If I do not get water, I would die. I'm dependent on food. If I do not get nourishment for this body, I would die. If you look at every single creation, it is dependent in existence on something else. And that something else, when we think about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created the air. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created all the food that exists in this world. So we can understand that because our existence is dependent on all of those things, and all of those things that our existence depends on has been created by only one God, by one Creator, we understand that there has to be someone who is independent of all of these needs, is independent of all of these demands of existence, so that he can provide everybody else the things that they're dependent on. So that is the core understanding that we should build, that if I am able to do something, it is because of the courage and it is because of the action, the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to me. I myself, in my doing a task, am not independent. For example, you're listening to this. If there was no video camera, you would not be able to see me. If there was no mic on this video camera, you would not be able to hear me. So you getting this information from me is dependent on that video camera. And me giving you this information is dependent on my tongue, on my intelligence, on my hands, on my body, on my logic, on the information that I got from somewhere else. And that somewhere else where I got the information is dependent on the books that those people wrote. It's dependent on Ahlul Bayt al-Islam who gave us the teachings. So if you think about it, this whole universe is connected with each other, with existence that are dependent on each other. So if this whole cycle just continues, then it would be infinite, but we would have to come to one existence who is not dependent on anyone, who has given motion to every single thing. And that, in a nutshell, is through logic and reasoning where we can understand that there has to be a creator who is not dependent on anyone else, who does not have a partner. Because if he was dependent on his partner, he would not be independent in existence. He would depend on the partner that there is. That's why we say, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. We say that I bear witness that there is no one other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a God, and He is one in His existence, and there is no partner that He has. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came over, his first message before any revelations of Quran were revealed to him, before any laws were given to the people, he came over and simply said, "Qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu." That, O people, you should say that there is no one worthy of love and obedience other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will become successful. When we say La ilaha, ilah means God. And in everyone's perception, God is that thing which they consider worthy of love and obedience. I'm not sure if we mentioned this in the last lecture, but if Hare Krishna is being worshipped by someone, they believe that Hare Krishna, or they believe that Kalima, or they believe in those, or Jesus Christ as being God, as worthy of love and obedience. If they did not consider the cow to be worthy of love and obedience, they would not worship the cow. So as a Muslim, in regards to Tawheed, what we're saying is that I bear witness that I have searched this whole universe, and I have looked at all the gods that there are, and I have not found any other God worthy of love and obedience other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the proclamation that we are making. That is the oath that we are taking. That is the witness that we are doing of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we are born into a Muslim family and we just say, yeah, I say that there is no other God other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without searching, without looking in our own selves, without looking outside, without any logic or reason or any experience or conviction, we have not touched even a little bit of the concept of Tawheed. People who were objecting to the Holy Prophet, the objection was that, you know, you want us to change a religion that our forefathers have been on. And in Islam, in Asuladin, taqlid of your parents, taqlid of a marja, taqlid of a molana, taqlid of anyone in Asuladin is haram. In Furu'ad-Din, it is wajib if you are not a marja, if you are not a muhtab. It is wajib. Taqlid basically means to follow whatever the other person says, accept it and not object to it. So in reality, when we look at that, we have bore witness, we have said that there is no other one worthy of love and obedience, then in our knowledge, it should be that if we are considering anyone worthy of love and obedience, if we are worshipping them, if we are obeying to them, we should find out whether it is worth, if they are worth it or not. A Muslim is worshipping so many other gods, so many other things that this Muslim is considering worthy of love and obedience other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? Anyone that you obey, you have considered them worthy of obedience. If you didn't, you would not obey them. And if it is that obedience is other than the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not your Lord. It is that person or being or thing that you have is your Lord. Doesn't matter if I say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. If the time of salah is come, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you have to do salah, but I'm not doing salah. I'm doing something else. I'm watching TV, I'm watching movies, I'm at work, I am doing whatever else. I am obeying that other thing or else or person or ideology or my own self. I'm not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one thing that is obeyed the most in this universe, in this world, if you think, okay, what is the thing that is obeyed the most? What is the thing that is considered to be love worthy of love and obedience? If you were to ask as a question, you would say, okay, you know what, let's find out. Let's see how many Muslims there are. Okay, so they say, okay, there's 1.3 billion Muslims or 1 billion Muslims. I say, okay, yeah, so Islam is number 2, Christianity is number 1. So in actuality, the God that Christianity has is the one who is going to be worshipped the most. Or you say, no, Buddhism actually is the biggest religion in the world because they have so many people who are Buddhists. No, the answer to that question is self. Self is the thing that has been considered worthy of love and obedience other than God. Because you will find a Muslim as well saying that there is no other thing worthy of worship and obedience or love other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is worshipping or is doing what his self desires. You will find a Christian as well saying that Christ is my God, but in actuality the self of that Christian is his God. A Buddhist will say the same thing, that Buddha is my God, but in reality his self or herself is his or her God. Because they consider that self to be worthy of more love and obedience than the God that they proclaim to be. So in actuality, Tawheed is not just a belief, it's not just a perception which has been built by logic and common sense and by books and by ahadith, the traditions of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam or of Masumin alayhi salam or of Quran. But in actuality, it is a practical thing that we have to do in every single aspect of our life. So there's two types of Tawheed now. There's Tawheed-e-Nazari, which is understanding Tawheed, and Tawheed-e-Amali, which is in our action. If you think Quran has all that there is for you to know about Tawheed, it is Tawheed-e-Nazari. But if you want to find out what is Tawheed-e-Amali, you have to look at the life of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. You have to look at the life of the Holy Prophet Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You have to look at the life of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam, Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam. You have to look at their lives. Because that is Tawheed-e-Amali. That in every single aspect of their life, they did not find anyone worthy of love and obedience other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. We say this to Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam did not have a son by the name of Abdullah. It was a title that was given to him by people. Because they saw that Imam Hussain was truly, sincerely doing every single thing only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing to do with his self. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay, my Hussein, you have to go from Medina to Karbala, yes, master. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay, your 6-month-old baby has to go in front of the army of Yazid and has to be martyred, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, my master. What did Imam Hussein al-Sadr said when he had the severed neck, the body of Hazrat Ali Asghar al-Sadr in his hands? He said that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this atrocity, this difficulty is also easier for me because I know you're watching me. That is Tawheed Amali. That was the purpose by us following Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim for us to become a Mawahid. And only then we could say that Imam Ali al-Sasam, Mawlai Mawahideen, he is the master of Mawahideen. Mawahideen is not just that person who picks up his finger and says, God is one. That a 4-year-old child can do as well. You ask him how many gods are there, he will tell you one God. That is not a Mawahid. Mawahid is who has in his perception the right ideology, the right definitions, the right perception in his mind about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also in his actions in Tawheed Amali, he only obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he only loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is through Tawheed that all of religion, it is through Tawheed that all of the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. And it is through Tawheed's misunderstanding, and it is through Tawheed's putting your own ideologies inside that we have the difference of opinions among Muslims. They said the difference of Shia Sunni started after the death of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not right. The difference started when Imam Ali alayhi salatu lowered his perception about his Mawla, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was not jiving with the understanding and perception of all the other people that were left behind after the Holy Prophet passed away. It was the Holy Prophet who gave the exact perception, the ma'soom perception, the infallible perception to Imam Ali alayhi salatu, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is Tawheed? But people were not able to see through that. People were not able to see through that perception. And there the difference started. And the difference of qada and qadar, where is it complete freedom or is it no freedom whatsoever? And what is it that a prophet is, whether he's infallible or he's not infallible, whether he's just like us who walks and talks and only in the matters of wahi, is infallible, but on the other matters is not, and that the successor of the prophethood was supposed to be decided by the Muslim Ummah. If all the Muslim Ummah votes, that they can decide who the successor of the Holy Prophet is supposed to be. What was the infallibility of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam? Was he infallible or was he not? Why did Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, ma'azallah, sin? All of these differences are stemming from the understanding of Tawheed. And because of those differences, now we have 72, 73 different sects of Islam. And that figure is from the traditions. If you look at the actual ground, every person is a sect of Islam. Every mambarga is a different sect of Islam. Every masjid is a different sect of Islam. Every book is a different sect of Islam. Where did that come from? It is coming from the misconception of Tawheed, which Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim tried their very best, but the people could not see. They would always say, Imam, which we get that today too, yeah, Imam, the way that you are looking at life, okay, it's fine and everything else is okay and you're telling us to do all of these things. But you know what? Right now it is a bit too hot for us to get up and do what you're asking us to do. Right now it's a little bit, you know, too cold for us to get up and do what we are supposed to do. You know, what do you hear today's Muslims? Oh no, there is no, you know, it's not feasible for us to come together right now. It is not the right time for us to stand against oppression. It is not the right time for us to decide whether there should be a Waliya Faqih or not. Whether we should all be following one person or we should be following 10 people. It is not the right time right now. Let's just wait, let's just put our hands on our hands and wait for the top imam to come and decide about all of these things. Why? If everybody was believing in the perception that Imam Hussein Sattu Islam gave, then why is it that in the whole world only one country was able to bring that same revolution inside of their country? Why is other Muslim Ummah sleeping? When someone asked Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah, he said, you know, they asked him, where did you get this? Where did you get this ideology? Where did you get all of this? That made you, as a 70-year-old man, to become so powerful that you can take down the kings of the kings, who is supported by the whole world. He said, Muhammad Chiz Dari Mas Karbala Dari. He said, whatever we have is from Karbala. Why was that? Karbala was an institution of Tawheed. The Kufa, in Kufa, those people were proclaiming to be believing in one God, but they actually believed in the oppressor who would kill them if they were to support the person who was supporting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They proclaimed very well, they convinced as a Muslim Ibn Aqil of their love and of their obedience to Imam Hussain sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They wrote 18,000 letters, or some traditions say 100,000 letters, they wrote them. But they were not on Tawheed. They were only on Tawheed if their lives were saved. They were only on Tawheed if their daughters were okay. They were only on Tawheed if their sons were going to grow up. But if there was going to be danger of any of that, they found someone else to be worthy of obedience and love. But Imam Hussain Sattu Salam, he said, no, through the eyes of the perception that I have gotten from my grandfather and from the sunnah of Imam Ali Sattu Salam, I intend to go and to do Amr bin Maruf on in Munkar to get this nation to become awake again and to walk on the same path as of my grandfather and my father. That is Tawheed. He wrote it. Tawheed is not just an ideology that we have to build and we have to argue about and we have to listen to lectures about or we have to ponder, you know, through so many different things. No, that is only the beginning. The end of Tawheed is that in every single movement of yours, the reflection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be seen. That when someone looks at you, you should not have to say that I'm a Muslim. That every single action of yours is a reflection of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people should look at you and say, this person believes in that one creator who must be the right and the true creator. Imam Ali did not say to someone that I am Mawla of Muwahideen. It was people who saw and gave him the title. He did not have to say that I am Amir of Mu'mineen. People saw that he was the Amirul Mu'mineen in true fact. To proclaim, anybody can proclaim, I'm the Amir of Mu'mineen. If you're not the Amir, if you're not ahead of all of the Mu'mineen in faith, you're not Amirul Mu'mineen. Amirul Mu'mineen means someone who is ahead in every single aspect of faith among the people. So my brothers and sisters, we don't have enough time to go through more in detail, but I would urge you that first, you should get your roots straightened out, and the biggest root that we have in Islam is of Tawheed. Think about it logically, with common sense, go through the books, look at the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outside, and also look at inside of yourself. And then in your action, Every single action has to be in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the thought comes to your mind that it is very difficult, just remember that then you are part of the problem, you're not part of the solution. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to obey and to worship and to love only Him, and that we become the friends and followers of our 12th Imam and He comes as soon as possible. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal Asr, Inna al-Insana lafi khusr. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر.